Hello, Fife fans, and welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club. The first rule of Fife Club is please talk about Fife Club. And this is your bonus episode from the shenanigans from the Fife Whiskey Festival. Basically, you'll hear a couple of outtakes that didn't quite make the show, and then we did a little bit of a roundup at Dave's after that evening, where we kind of just went over everything and talked about what we liked and what we'd like to see in future. So, yeah, sit back, enjoy this special little episode. Thank you. Bye.
It's a blend anyway.
Although, I have to say, the blends like I was saying earlier, blends today have been fantastic.
So did you do the wings blends?
Yes.
Did you try their old-fashioned?
No, because I was like, no, I want to go straight onto your signature things, personally. But I did it in the exact wrong order. I was like, I'd like to start with your peaty chimney. Oh, then I'll have the other one, then I'll have Hive. So I went in the exact opposite order of what you're meant to.
I didn't try their peaty chimney. I tried the Hive in the old-fashioned, and then I tried the spiced.
Yeah.
And oh my
Dave God. Rogers was a big fan of the spice.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the peach. I was like, that is very good. I said, that's very good for blend. And then the nice lady behind the counter reminded me, it's like, it's a single malt blend. It's a malt blend.
Yeah.
Sorry, not a single malt. A malt blend. And I was like, that's a good point. But that really did impress me. And
did that impress you much?
But at the same time, I obviously went in the wrong order because then I could taste the river or two. So I was like, I'll be right good. But I don't actually know, do I? I have no idea.
So go to King's Barnes, try the spirit first, and then try the two-year-old.
Oh.
It's obviously not whiskey. Oh. They can't promote it as whiskey.
Yeah, because it's two. Yeah. But which I didn't know till today. I thought they could just relieve that as an age statement.
I thought there was an age requirement. You know the salty sea dog?
Yeah, I thought it was like one or two years or something.
Do you know the salty sea dog I have? The Islay salty sea dog?
Oh, lordy.
That's a three-year-old. That is a young whiskey. And you can tell because it's so opaque. But honestly, go try it. Try the raw spirit and then try the two-year-old and see how much of a difference there is. This smells peaty.
It does a bit of a spittoon bucket next to us. Oh, Adelphi. Oh, they had some lovely stuff. Very smooth. I've had a lot of whiskey.
right, one more drink, followed by Lindor's just to round things off.
So we're going to take cuts to Lindor, which is outstanding.
You like chocolate, right?
I also like Fife.
Well, this is, well, you run a podcast called Fife Club then. If this was Perth Club, it'd be a very different experience.
I think we know the guys from Perth Club. But anyway.
They're in prison.
I'll swap you. I'll give you the bag. I'll take Mike for a second. Me and Dave went to see Lindor for a couple of... And they gave us some very interesting mixes.
They have a guy called Tim who's an apothecary. The last time I met an apothecary called Tim, he was in fucking... he was in the Holy Grail.
Right, let's go. Something. Right.
Hello.
Right.
Oh, no.
So. We are here now.
Your cheeks. Oh, it's as red as this microphone. Sorry.
I am fucked.
Your other two cheeks, though.
Well, Viv, wouldn't you like to know?
So, would you almost say that, not being the biggest expert, would you almost say a liqueur is almost a starting off point for whiskey drinkers?
I would definitely say so. I mean, I think a lot of people will say to you things like, have a Glenmorangie or have a Campbelltown, or like a Springbank.
Something you see all over the place.
Yeah, like some of your bigger brands, Glenmorangie, who are here today, like they tend to be, like the Speyside tend to be a bit more subtle, they're not as peaty.
Yeah.
Ben Romack is the only one that I can think that's really peaty. But a lot of the Speysides tend to be really sort of honey, golden.
Yeah.
Some of the Highlands are like that as well. You go out to Islay, and that's when you start hitting the peats. And that's, you know, obviously the Islays are the massive ones. That, you know, lots of people love them. A lot of them are in the blends as well.
Yeah. Orkney, do you have Highland Park?
Well, that's Highland Park.
That's a really lovely one.
Park's really tasty.
It is amazing.
A lot of people say to you to try these ones before going deeper. I would say if you're not sure, but you want to understand whiskey, you want to start getting to like whiskey, it's your liqueurs or your way in.
Yeah. It's nice when you can do things like what Fraser's are doing and make a nice little cocktail out of it.
Yeah.
That nice little setting, so what's in this? And you tell them and it's like, wait, there's whiskey in here. There's whiskey. Like, yeah. You would never believe that at first. Like, people always think that whiskey is something you have to have straight. Obviously, there's more whiskeys that are better, neat as they are. But then, like you say, like whiskeys like Fraser's, we did the Drummond.
I think there is a bit of snobbery around that, and I'll be honest, I've been part of that snobbery before, where using a malt in a cocktail has been like a big no-no. Like, you wouldn't do that. Why ruin a good malt? However, actually, what's happened there is because of that snobbery, you've ended up with a lot of really good cocktails coming with from bourbons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's fine. However, actually, there's a lot of good whiskies paired with the right fruits, syrups, soft drinks, whatever you can put into a cocktail, you can get really, really good cocktails from Scotch whiskies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there is this thing of lifting the snobbery off it.
Yeah, well, that was the thing.
If you like whiskey, drink it how you like it. So, we're in the Imperial Bar across the road from the Fife Whiskey Festival at the Corn Exchange in Cooper. Jamie, how do you feel about the first Fife Whiskey Festival?
Quite drunk, especially because Pay Friends, the podcast, Graham, just bought me a beer and a whiskey.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Some random guy just gave me like a Drambuie as I came in the door. It was like, you, are you having a rum? I was like, what? And I thought he was talking to someone else. I was like, no, I'm talking to you. I was like, I'll take whatever you've given me. I don't know what it is.
So you've just...
Scottish leader, that sounds horrific.
Woo!
So you've just been given a roofy drink?
Probably.
James is getting buggered.
if I don't make it home tonight, this is why. You can put this out in the courts. I don't know who gave it. I can't remember the guy who gave it. I might die tonight, guys. It's all good.
So, what, James, what's your sort of like impression of the Whiskey Festival so far?
I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. Like, it was that was one of the things coming in. It was, I wanted to be a kind of journey, a learning experience, get to know whiskey rather than just enjoy whiskey. And I thought that's exactly what I got. I really enjoyed speaking to all the distillers. Everyone had their ideas and their processes for making whiskey. Lindor was probably the favourite. That was probably the best one of the night. Just that was insane. That was really tasty.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if we were speaking to, I don't know if we did it on the podcast or if it spoke to Dave, was there's so many different whiskies you get off the shelf in supermarkets that are just whatever. They're not that great. But coming to an event like this where you actually can taste the whiskies and you can taste everything that's went into that. Some of them are weeks old, years, very young whiskies, but it's been great. It's been fascinating as well to learn a little bit more. I know going into other places now, if I went for a whiskey, I know what ones I'd want. I don't know what I'd be looking for, rather than just being like, well, this, like, I went through for a little bit, like, the difference between a malt and a bourbon, things like that, so knowing that is going to be a big key thing for me. So I learned a lot through this one, and it's been fun. It's been a fun experience. I've enjoyed it. You might not hear me while I'm saying that, but it's good. It's been excellent. It's been, we were saying that when we were speaking to Karen, was this is a good event for people who have never tried whiskey, or not so keen on whiskey, that it's a good chance when they come in and try it out and learn a little bit more.
Most
and feel
definitely.
A bit more at ease with whiskey. I think that's something about whiskey and what it is puts people off. But something like this is great for everyone. Everyone who enjoys a little drink or a dram, there's something for everyone at this event.
Definitely, definitely. Jamie, so what are your sort of full impressions of the whole thing so far? What have you tasted that's been great? What do you feel about this event happening in Fife?
Us and a friend of the podcast, Ralph. Say hello, Ralph.
Hello.
Oh, that's the most words you'll ever get out of him. We were having a conversation about how the whiskey... Right, it's good that the Whiskey Festival in Fife didn't try to be the Whiskey Fringe, because the Whiskey Fringe is more of your top-end distilleries all coming down. But
that's what I quite liked about this today, though.
The Whiskey Festival in Fife was more about taste and, younger distilleries, but will try and make you understand why this is good. And do you know what? Places like Strathairn, the Isla Brothers, I love that name. It's so good. They did that for me. You know what I mean? They made me believe in what they're doing. I'll keep an eye on them from now on. And great taste. And getting James and Penman interested in whiskey is fantastic. Yeah. And just... it's a great thing for Fife to have with all the whiskey talent. It's a shame. Did you get in with Inch Derny or Inch Darn, whatever called?
I didn't get into Inch Derny.
No, they did say they were a big top, to be fair.
Yeah. But like, we tried, I didn't get around everybody, but what I'm glad that we did do was get around all the Fife based ones. We got Eden Mill, we got Lindor's.
Ralph, you had the number four. How was that?
Yeah, number four was absolutely superb. I love a port cask. I would say from today, port casks were my favourite drinks of the day. Absolutely superb from Eden Mill. I wasn't expecting a lot, actually, but it really was very good.
I wasn't expecting a lot from Noel, because I was like, okay, you're not producing malts yet, you're just having a bash. But actually, I had, because it was my I fancied a number four, but because it was my first of the day, I had the number two. Because I was like, that sounds more my ballpark.
Yeah.
And the number two was absolutely delicious for a malt. For a blend. Absolutely delicious.
Did you speak to King's Barnes?
No, I spoke to Weems.
Weems Malts. Yeah. So Weems Malts were there, but King's Barnes had their, I mean, we've talked about this already, we talked to them, but they had their 63% spirit, which you expected to be like sort of nail polish, but it was actually really fruity, really floral. And then the fact that they are putting that into casks and then planning to produce a whiskey, it's amazing. It's amazing that that flavour from that sort of basic distilled spirit is then going into these casks, and that's happening in Fife, and they're trying to source as much of their their product from Fife as well, which is an amazing thing.
Hello Fife fans, we're having deja vu, things have gone wrong and we're back. Anyway, we're at Dave and Charlotte's just now. Thank you
Hi,
very
David
much
Charlotte.
For hosting us back in Dunfermline. We have been to Cooper. It's been
a fun day.
It's been an interesting day.
A shite day of weather and a lovely day of drinking.
Yeah. I feel like I've been hanging with Mr. Cooper today.
So we have done the Fife Whiskey Fest. We have been through Cooper. We've come back home. We're in Dunfermline now. We've had a little bit of food, a little bit of water, some more beer.
Okay.
How has today been for everybody?
It's been
very
fun.
Briefly.
Fun, educational, entertaining. I would say in a degree, yeah.
Full of the right kinds of liquid. Yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And some of the wrong kinds, I'll be totally honest. Some of them are pretty good. There we are.
Mark? Refreshing.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, no, good all round. Had a lovely day. Lots of nice people, lots of good drinks. Yeah. Good for our first Fife Whiskey Festival.
And there is a rounding endorsement from a man that did not like whiskey.
Yeah, whiskey's all right, actually. It turns out it's not shite after all. So, whiskey.
Would you use maybe some of the blends and some of the single malts that you've tasted today? Would you drink them maybe on a more regular basis, or would you also consider them for your cocktails?
I probably wouldn't, but that's just because I'm a creature of habit. But no, if someone bought me a bottle of whiskey, I wouldn't just look them in the eye like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you not buying me gin? So I guess that's a step forward.
Well,
right?
That's interesting. Like, would you maybe consider let's say one of us were to buy you a bottle of whiskey.
Don't you waste your money, guys. It's a kind gesture.
What my question to you is, would you look at what kind of maybe cocktails you can make with that whiskey?
Yeah, definitely.
What flavours would complement it?
Yeah, absolutely. Or like any alcohol, eventually I'd find a reason for tanning it back. Because my life is sad.
I think that's interesting, because I mean, we've all talked much on this podcast.
Tears stream down your face.
That's all.
We've talked about how you do have the perfect palate. You've been able to discern every single variety of the Iron Brew in a blind taste test.
I thought we were getting at the no gag reflex thing.
Mark and his no gag reflex.
No, yeah. I have a really strong gag reflex.
He says that, but I've never experienced it.
You can barely touch the sides, mate. That's what I'm saying. It's funny, but you have a micro penis. That's what we're getting at, right?
It's all right, mate, because you do too.
Yeah, exactly. Who'd have thought two in the one group of friends, eh? Yeah.
Micro penis when you put it in the microwave for 5 minutes and it gets bigger.
Yeah, really. It's really hot. Girls say it's hot.
It turns out like Godzilla.
The outside.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. So, that's...
Anyway, we're in Cooper.
We all do consider you to have a pretty bang on palate. When it comes to bang on palate...
Oh, stroke him anymore!
I thought you were going to compliment my penis for a second. Really thought you were going there. That's odd.
Have a bang on palate when it comes to your cocktails. You know your flavours, you know your taste. And I suppose from somebody that is a keen whiskey drinker to somebody that is not so much, that will give us maybe cocktails with bourbons and stuff, the key is, would you now consider a malt?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably the reason there aren't more malts in cocktails isn't because it's bad, it's because they're expensive. And you sort of don't want to waste them a little bit.
I think
bit.
There's that as well, but there's also a snobbiness.
Yeah,
and I think this is what we've, me and Jamie over the last wee while have kind of grown to depart from, is our snobbiness of malts. Would that be right, Jamie?
Yeah, to an extent. Although, if you mix Coke with a malt, you're a fucking cretin.
Yes, right. I do agree with that. Yeah,
that happens a lot on whiskey pages, and I just worry for those people's offspring, to be honest.
I remember going to the King's House Hotel in the West Highland Way, and Warren went up and asked for a Laphroaig and Diet Coke.
Why didn't you punch him to death?
Well, the guy behind the bar just went, no. And then we drank £250 worth of whiskey, but that's another story, so let's not get into that.
That's what Bell's is for. What Jack Daniels is for.
He was trying to, as he put it, gently lower himself back into drinking whiskey again, so we just went in at the deep end for the rest of that night. It was a fucking nightmare. It really was. Like, oh.
What was everyone's kind of highlight of the day then? I know what my highlight was, and it has nothing to do with the whiskey, and it has everything to do with Jamie's Cooper Temple Claws joke.
Oh!
You'll have heard that already, because I'm making sure that makes the edit. It is a beautiful joke, and so I think we need to move on from that.
My low light was the point when a friend of the podcast, Ralph, got so trashed that he got fighty and then told to one random punter, I'll take your eyes and wear them as a necklace, which, when we had to take Ralph home. So,
he's from KDY, can't help it.
That's Kirkcaldy for
that
you.
Guy.
Hello.
That's Ralph.
Finally, he's currently got eyes on his fingers.
Can't find a thread.
I think as an experience, I think Fraser's journey of their cocktail making was probably the highlight.
I'm listening.
No, in fairness, that was fantastic. Like, you came down the stairs and actually got me and Charlotte to come up the stairs to be like, come and fucking try this. And it was amazing.
And I got myself another one while I was doing it as well.
A proper little journey.
Here for the cocktail, aren't you? Like, fucking right I am.
I've never had a cocktail in a Glencairn glass before. Which was an experience.
I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. But James will do it again, though.
Roz!
Well, the bright side, they did give me this card with the recipe if we ever wanted to make it again. So, with the Fraser of Scotland.
They were also hinting at another one coming out in a different bottle with different colours.
And they refused
and
to tell us what it was.
They didn't tell us what kind of fruit it was going to be.
It was like, when you try it, it'll be like, oh, I didn't know you could put that.
I would
like, of course, that's the point.
Pick up a bottle of that as a liqueur, though, because that was. And again, that journey, hopefully we've recorded that fine, but the journey of going from the base liqueur. A little bit of ice, and then
up the shaft
cocktail.
To the tip.
But then the cocktail. It was interesting to see how the flavor changed. Yeah,
like that was really good. Lindor was probably another highlight.
Lindor was
definitely probably the yeah. for me. Just
I made friends with that guy.
Yeah,
do you know
you
what?
Did to the point where you got yourself a nice.
I
glass.
Got myself a cheeky wee Lindor's glass as well. Nice. For that one.
But this is the thing. I think the most surprising thing for me is not so much the whiskey, but the experience of the base spirits from the Fife distilleries.
Are you officially all about the base?
I'm all about the base.
About the base.
No treble. But like working from that spirit that comes, that is going into the casks just now to make their whiskies. It's not something I've experienced before, is being able to have just that raw spirit. And again, 63% from King's Barns, and then, 70% from Lindor's? I mean, that is strong. It's amazing that it is so amazing that it did not taste like paint stripper.
Yeah, because that was it. It was the fact that I was introduced by one of the guys, I can't remember his name, but he was kind enough to give me one of the glasses from Lindor's, introduced me to their apothecary, Tim.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier on, the last apothecary I met called Tim was on Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So, yeah, it was just like, he kind of took me across and took me through the different bits and pieces, everything from pumpkin seeds all the way through to dates. Star anise and all this sort of stuff. And I was just like, I was fucking blown away by how tasty.
But is that in the fact that they're using like herbs and plants that have been grown in the Abbey at Lindor's as well? They're using local, like that fresh and local ingredient as well. It's amazing to know that that's happening within Fife.
Well, I thought it was interesting that there was quite a lot of the liqueurs and like base spirits and things were quite kind of herby.
Mm-hmm.
As well, because actually, it's not something you generally come across. Like, I would think of like Benedictine, quite medicinal tasting and stuff like that. There's actually a lot of like herby stuff kicking around there, which I've never seen before.
No,
I've always just experienced Benedictine things to taste really much of caffeine. far too much sugar and just be like full on fighting juice. It's quite nice.
Whereas this being Herbie was full of synth jazz.
It was indeed entirely Herbie Hancock at your nut.
But yeah, it's been an interesting little trip today.
And yeah, that's I've probably already said it, but I'm quite drunk.
Yeah,
it's really nice to have something like this going on in Fife, especially with it being like a first time thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff in Fife which is faded away into nothingness and disintegrated into fuck all. And the fact that something new and sold out has come around, and
yeah,
that was the first time it's ever gone ahead, and it was rammed in there.
And everybody had like nice things to say about the fact that it was being held in Cooper, it was being held in Fife. You know, there was sort of like a lot of sentiment that it was amazing to see the amount of people that were turned by. I mean, turned around. Sorry, we had a guy that was sitting there from John Paul. We spoke to from the Indian.
Is that George and Ringo?
John Paul. Well done. No, John Paul. It's the
John Paul Gaultier.
It was the
Adwan.
It was the Indian whiskey that was there. I don't know if anybody else managed to have any of it, but yeah, it was.
I love Ralph's interjection with all of them.
Just, but again, that thing where it's an Indian whiskey, but the peat. That it's peated, and Jamie asked a question, do you have peat in India? And they were like, no, we actually get it from they get it from
do you have peat? He's like, no, we import that from Scotland. I was like,
that's a wonderful thing, is that we've got this sort of like trans global whiskey where the peat is coming from.
Absolutely. No, I think it's great that Indian whiskey can really repeat on you. not at all. It's beautiful stuff. That's a repeat joke.
But that we've got the spirit being made there, and we're sending over the peat, and they're making this beautiful peated whiskey, like what? Different levels.
It's much faster though, because of the heat across there, then literally they are churning out 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
That taste, unbelievably smooth. Yeah. Really good.
You can do that with the heat.
We are talking about whiskey, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, also, like, think about also, like, did you guys speak to about where he's based? They're in Goa.
Yeah.
Could you fucking imagine making whiskey in Goa? Goa. Like, that is amazing.
I would love a whiskey with a fish curry, to be honest.
Yeah. Could you go one?
I could go a whiskey from Goa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Job catch.
But that, yeah, it is amazing. Like, again, that we've got whiskies all around the world that still have these links back to Scotch, basically. So
Japan's on the rise. Japanese.
Well, I mean, the Japanese whiskies.
That almost sounds like the geopolitical there, James. Japan's on the rise. Watch them.
There's just in Japan about to take over.
Pearl Harbor.
You've got things like Hibiki. Oh my god. So we've got things like Hibiki from Japan, which are, you know, and a lot of the other. I can never remember. Yamazaki, that's the one, yeah. Which have been like world whiskey champions. And they are amazing whiskies as well. And it's interesting to see that we've got these sort of great whiskies.
Especially when most of the Welsh ones are total shite.
Penderyn. I will say Penderyn is a good whiskey.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, I will not say, I'll not have anybody say a bad word about it. It's a good whiskey.
I think they have a difficult second album. I don't even know where that was from. I think maybe I'm tailing off. I really feel bad about the point when we interviewed the guy from King's Barnes, because that was the moment when I realised I was shit-faced.
But I think...
And it just like dawned on me as I was speaking to the guy with the microphone, like, oh God, this is happening.
Were they the ones that were giving us like the old fashions?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like they gave us like a little cup, and rather than just sipping it, I just necked that bitch, and then I was about to throw up. I was like, I have to back out. And like, you know, you have to sit, you sit there and you're like, I might need to throw up here. Well, drink water. And you just slowly just drink water, just look into the abyss and hope for the life of Christ that you don't throw up. I didn't. I was like, oh, please. This is like the moment where it made or break my day.
I was really expecting that old fashioned to be a little less whiskey-ish than it was.
I really liked that.
It was kind of like more whiskey than old fashioned.
I thought the whiskey that they were using, the blend from Weems Malts, was it their Spice King, I think it was?
That was the one.
No, it was the Hyde or something.
Oh, no, it was the Hyde.
Spice King was in the
And then there was Old Chimney as well.
It was the Hive that was in the Old Fashioned. And I think that worked really well. I mean, for an Old Fashioned, it kind of, it actually complemented old flavours.
Yeah.
But I have to say, by the end of having those three, because she let me have a wee bash of each of those, and by the end of that, I felt like my fucking mouth was stripped of saliva. It was just like,
that's an incredible sentence in isolation.
She did. No, but it was. It wasn't. By the end of the King's Barnes ones, I was just like, no. I honestly think those ones were my least favourite of the day.
Really, the King's Barnes ones. Yeah. See, I quite enjoyed the King's Barnes Big Spirit the 2-year-old, which isn't a whiskey, but they're not selling, and it's just it's amazing the difference from the base spirit to what it is like after 2 years.
What's
it's
weird
amazing.
Is like we completely disagree on the whiskies as well. My favourites were all your least favourites.
Yeah, because you were even saying to me about the Aaron, what cast?
The Aaron one with the Sauternes.
So the Sauternes, yeah.
Which
the
I really loved.
That was amazing. Yeah. That was a really tasty. Like Aaron 14's one of my favourites. I think, Ralph, what have you got to say about Aaron 14?
Absolutely love it. I own it and I love it. Yep.
Yeah. You own Aaron 14, all of it?
All of it. Yeah, all
he owns a boy.
Called Aaron, who's 14. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so good.
Wait a minute. This is uncomfortable.
No, it's so easy to slip it in your end with this kind of chat. I'll try not to. I tried some of the Aaron 18, I think, which was amazing. But that was the only Aaron that I liked. The rest of them I thought were far too salty and just, I mean, I'm not surprised because it's a fucking island in the middle of this.
But that's
I know that's part of it.
I don't know. I can understand the salt that comes from Aaron, but like tends the sort of salty flavors tend to be things that are much more coastal. Old Pulteney is the classic. What was the Weems one that we tried today that had the salt in it? It was the Spice King. Spice King.
I wasn't a fan of Spice King.
I quite liked it, but
I had the Weems ones in the exact opposite order, in that I had the Peaty Chimney first, and then I went Spice King, and I went for the Hive. So,
see,
opposite order, but you're clearly meant to drink them in.
I had the Spice King, and yeah, there was definitely a salty thing that reminded me of Old Pulteney. But yeah, I mean, I suppose that's what it is. We all have different palates and different flavors,
man,
and that's
absolutely
why there's so many of them.
Aye. Yeah. But I mean, some of them today were absolutely fantastic. I went to Loch Fyne kind of end of the day.
I didn't get to them guys, some of the bottling. Fantastic guys.
But I had I don't know what, and then I had some of something else, and then I had some of their gin. I didn't realise that Loch Fyne did gin.
I didn't know that. I saw that they did have a bottle. Yeah.
What?
Or, is it their own, or is it... because Loch Fyne have generally tended to do single cask.
Yeah.
But if they're doing their own gin... Fucking yes.
Yeah, like...
I cannot wait for Best of the West this year, though.
That was so tasty. Like, I was saying it, I was just like, wow. Because they've got sea buckthorn in there as well as milk thistle and a couple of those days. They've obviously got juniper and some of the other botanicals in there. Nettle,
but some quite nice local kind of stuff that they'll be able to get. Like,
but
the sea
buckthorn in there made sense. And it was just... Like, I tried it kind of straight. And usually gin, when it's straight, just tastes a bit like aftershave to me. But that was just like bang. It was just amazing. Mm. Just the total sheer taste that just blasted through me. And then it was that with a little bit of tonic as well. And yeah, just seriously tasty stuff. Like, would thoroughly recommend some Loch Fyne gin. I'm going to get some Loch Fyne gin.
Well, I think that's definitely on my cards now then.
Aye, yeah. Absolutely. Seriously, so.
What about Strathairn? We had a good chat with them today as well.
Strathairn guys, they've got their... Wow. they've got their gins. They've got three gins at the moment, I think.
Three gins.
Yeah. A golden rum, and then they've got their whiskey, which isn't ready yet, but they are working towards. And
going from what they had, then I'm quite excited to see what they bring out.
Yeah, definitely with their gin and their rum.
Schmeh.
Really?
The rum, schmeh.
I thought the rum was quite juicy. It was quite spicy, vanilla notes, a little bit of cinnamon going on.
I know me and Charlotte were giving a good measure of the rum, and we were both just like, meh. Kind of measured out between us, and the two of us were like, oh, we just finished that, they emptied our glasses. It wasn't really, didn't have much of a punch to it or anything. I didn't really enjoy it that much.
That's interesting. I think the most interesting thing that I found is that there's now 7 rums in Scotland.
Fuck yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
And that they
have 5.
They produce the spirit for 5 of them.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Because like the only rum that I knew was the one from Aberdeen, Dark Matter, which is a spiced rum. And it is not like any other rum you've ever had.
Good.
Oh, it's so good. It's peppery. It's like just, oh. Mm.
And even at that, it's quite interesting to know that not a lot of them do a lot of collaboration. Like, yeah. Despite that, you would think we were talking about the beer festival and we were talking about the idea of collaboration with other local brewers, and they were having conversations and trying each other's beers. The whiskey festival, the distillers, not so much.
Yeah.
They were very
much all about their own secret recipes.
Yeah, and like they would help share certain things. Like they'd specialise in something and kind of mass produce it and get it out there. But then apart from that, they're not doing anything else. They're not really helping each other in that sense, which is really interesting, especially in the local scene, where I would have thought that would be a bit more likely.
But I think that's something that they're striving towards, is that a lot of the local guys want to do something like that. There's sort of get a bit more chat and whatnot going on between them. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where like the local sort of more, I'm going to call it craft whiskies, because it is what's happening. We've had craft beer, craft gin. It's going to be craft whiskies. That's the next big boom, I think. Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Can I just say, compared to the Edinburgh whiskey fringe, I would say there was just so many more independent distillers there. Mm. It was incredible. Like
independent bottlers and things. Yeah.
Absolutely. Everyone with their own little take on things. Having gone to the whiskey fringe for a couple of years in a row, you get some really nice old whiskies, really expensive whiskies, really good age statement on them. You come away, you feel very happy. But today, I really felt I tried a lot of things that were just completely different. Mm. And people say, not afraid to say, you know, this is an 8-year-old plus a 2-year-old in this cask, and this is what I think this is great, though.
Yeah.
And you try it, and you go, right, this, yeah, that is great. Yeah. Fantastic, yeah.
You've managed to make something that tastes amazing, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think that's not all about whiskey fringe last year,
and it's very different. Yeah. Oh my God, Dave, I'm not, don't know if I'm ready.
Dave's just handing around some whiskey, so that's good. But yeah, no, definitely. I think that's the biggest thing, is it's amazing how many of them are young and they're looking to get product out as quick as possible, but they're not ashamed to show their age. They're quite open to saying that they are 3, 4, 5 year old. And that's not something that we've seen in the whiskey markets. Mm.
Well, shall we say, drinking this whiskey, goodbye, and Slangeva.
I think Slangeva is definitely the time to go. So let's have a... And I think it brings us to that time of the podcast, because I don't think it's an evening or a day or whatever we've had.
Of the journey.
It's been a long day. The time of the podcast where I have to ask, Dave, what is your motto for tonight?
If you're coming to my house, take your fucking shoes off when you enter the door.
Don't spill beer on the rug.
You heard it here first.
And I think because you got that last week as well, James, what is the motto of the podcast?
You know what? Support your local industry. Support your local distillers, brewers. Pour yourself a nice little whiskey. And so much.
Support your local band.
Yeah. Support your local band.
Slangeva.
Slangeva.
And remember the people tell the boss.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
All right.
Sorry, yes, Charlotte, was that ooh or was that ooh?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I normally get.